Welcome to Ballot Battleground Nevada. I'm your host, Ben Marjat, a reporter at KRNV News 4 in Reno. I'm passionate about making politics in this critical battleground state more digestible to the average voter and pushing past the talking points to press politicians for answers. On this show, we take deep dives into the people, ideas, and debates shaping Silver State politics. Since the landmark Supreme Court case Roe v. Wade was overturned in 2022, abortion has been one of, if not the most motivating issue for millions of voters across America. Many believe the focus on reproductive rights in the 2022 midterms is why Democrats overperformed expectations, keeping the Senate in Democratic hands. In the past 2 years, the issue has not faded from voters' minds, and it will certainly be top of mind in the Silver State if Nevadans for Reproductive Freedom succeeds in their efforts to put abortion on the ballot in November. They're charging ahead with two separate ballot questions that could cement abortion rights into the state constitution if approved and drastically change the electoral landscape. This week, we thought we would explain where abortion stands in Nevada right now, what these measures would change if one of them passes, and where they stand in the courts. And that's where we'll start, because last week there was some movement on this front at the Nevada Supreme Court, which was hearing oral arguments on a legal challenge to one of the proposed ballot questions.
The next matter on for argument today is case number 87681, Nevadans for Reproductive Freedom versus Donna Washington et al.
For over a century, the people of Nevada have reserved to themselves the power to propose constitutional amendments by petition and to enact or reject them at the polls. This petition is a straightforward exercise of that reserved constitutional right, and it complies with all statutory and constitutional requirements. It has a clear single subject of creating and defining a constitutional right to reproductive freedom. It has a straightforward description of effect that explains the scope and effects of the new proposed right, and it does not require the state to spend any money on anything. Your honors may or may not agree with the petition as a matter of policy, but under Nevada's constitution, that is a question for the people of Nevada to decide.
That's David Fox, the attorney for the Nevadans for Reproductive Freedom, making his case to justices last week. He was arguing for a more broad ballot question that would strengthen many reproductive freedoms in Nevada, not just abortion. We'll get into that in just a minute. But while this is going on, abortion advocates are already gathering signatures for a separate ballot question, one that deals with abortion only. See, as it stands now, abortion in Nevada is legal up until the 24th week of pregnancy. That right is protected in Nevada state law, and so abortion rights were not affected when Roe v. Wade was essentially overturned by the Dobbs decision. It was put in state law by a voter referendum in 1990. Voters approved question 7 by a substantial margin. 63% voted yes, 37% voted no. It would take another vote of the people to overturn that right to abortion in Nevada. But given the climate around reproductive freedom, with abortion rights being chipped away at or altogether repealed in states across the country, activists feel that state law doesn't go far enough. They want it in the state constitution, another extra layer securing the right to an abortion even further. If that were to pass, it would take not one, but two votes of the people to overturn. Here's the president of Nevadans for Reproductive Freedom, Lindsay Harmon, explaining why they feel that extra step is so necessary.
I think you've seen that with the case out of Alabama, right? And they brought that up in court today, that IVF is not a controversial subject. Well, yes, it is. We live in a different world now where these are all, in fact, under threat. Birth control, IVF, abortion care, these are all things that are trying to be dismantled in this country. Yeah, so I think that in a post-Dobbs world, we're not taking anything for granted. This is a constitutional right, and it belongs in the Constitution, and voters recognize that. Listen, voters are not stupid. They are sophisticated on this issue. They know what's going on, and they're excited to take action on that just based on the signatures alone. So I think what you're seeing is a pushback to the fact that they know, the right side knows that this is broadly popular with voters, and so they're doing everything they can to keep it out of the hands of voters, which is an unfortunate delay tactic that, you know, costs a lot of money and pushes us further out in our signature gathering process. But
Harmon says her group is already getting signatures for the abortion-only ballot question, which, if passed, would put the right to an abortion up to 24 weeks in the state constitution. She says they have over 27,000 signatures already. They'd need about 102,000 valid signatures spread out across Nevada's four congressional districts to get that question on the November ballot, and she's confident they will. That question is also being challenged in the courts right now, but it has not been taken up by the Nevada Supreme Court just yet. But another question is potentially waiting in the wings as well, a similar but distinct effort to enshrine many reproductive freedoms in the Constitution, not just abortion, but the right to prenatal care, childbirth, postpartum care, birth control, vasectomy, tubal ligation, abortion, miscarriage, and infertility care. All those rights would be protected in the Constitution if that second question were to pass, but that one has another hurdle to clear, and it's why we were at the state Supreme Court last week.
Yeah, I think what we were looking for the court to affirm today, and I think what we'll see in the future, is that all of these aspects, birth control, prenatal care, postnatal care, miscarriages, abortion care, are all in fact related and all fall under the umbrella of reproductive freedom.
The Coalition for Parents and Children is challenging the legality of that second question. They argue the various reproductive freedoms violate the single subject rule, which states that ballot questions must only deal with one topic. It's aimed at preventing wide-ranging ballot questions that incorporate a bunch of changes and could confuse voters. The legal challenge to the second ballot question was filed by Donna Washington. She's referred questions about all this to her attorney, Jason Guanasso, a Reno-based lawyer for the firm Hutchinson & Steffen. He's a conservative who ran for Republican office several years ago and has been a pro-life advocate. And he was the one arguing before the state Supreme Court last week that this wide-ranging reproductive freedoms ballot question incorporates too many things and violates the single subject rule. While we didn't get the chance to talk to Lindsay at length in time for this episode, Jason was able to come by the studio this week. Here's our conversation about his group's legal opposition to the proposed ballot measure. Jason, thank you so much for coming by the studio for Ballot Battleground Nevada. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be here with you, man.
Two times that we get to talk to you in 1 week. So and that must mean that abortion and reproductive freedom is in the news, and it certainly has been lately because you are the attorney for this legal challenge against one of the ballot questions that wants to put reproductive freedoms on the ballot, which we've talked about. How did this legal challenge come to be? Who approached you, and why did you guys want to challenge that second proposed ballot measure?
When the ballot measure came out, the reproductive freedom ballot measure, in addition to being a lawyer, I'm also a pastor in the community, and a number of us have deep convictions about the value and dignity of human life. And when things like this come up, of course, we all talk. You know, we talk by phone, text, we meet at church, and these questions questions about this ballot measure came up from friends that I have in church, and including Donna Washington. We talking about this issue with her, with others that are kind of a part of a group of folks here that just care about the issues of life and human dignity. And the question, as often happens in these situations, is put to me, well, what can we do to challenge or address some of the concerns we have with this petition? And so I've done a few of these in the past. And so as I was kind of weighing the language that was in the reproductive freedom petition, what struck me right out of the gate was just how all-encompassing it was. It was a broad category of rights. And that was number one thing. And then number two thing is kind of putting in the context of what was happening in the country. You know, we had the Dobbs decision a year and a half ago, and then a number of different ballot measures like this one in other states. And so looked at what was happening in other states, compared it to what, you know, our law says, and came up with a legal theory, you know, and in terms of how to challenge it. Not for the sake of, I just want to make this clear, like, we're not afraid of the debate. You know, the debate mm-hmm. over the extent of rights associated with a person having an abortion or not having an abortion. In the pro-life movement, we've been working for over, you know, 40 years to have that debate at the state level. And we've decried the fact that the Supreme Court intervened in the way that it did in Roe v. Wade, and really believe that this sort of conversation should be happening at the state level. And so And so the challenge isn't really to forestall the debate. It's just to make sure that we're having a fair debate, you know, a debate on issues that the voter, the average voter can digest, that are that have clear, you know, pro con to them, and aren't misleading and deceptive. And, you know, we're thinking through the consequences, you know, and that's a part of why what the description of effect in these ballot measures is supposed to do is tell you what the thing does and what some of the possible consequences could be.
And so Nevada has what's called the single subject rule, which I talked about a little bit earlier in this episode already. Explain for our listeners and viewers, though, what exactly is the meaning and why we have the single subject rule. It's intended really to limit voter confusion, right, to have their voting on one thing and one thing only.
If you look at the legislative history, you'll see that the major concern was putting issues before voters that were simplified, that weren't convoluted, that didn't attach kind of one popular subject with other negative subjects, what the case law calls log rolling. And so what the legislature was after is to kind of simplify and make sure that what we were putting before voters was clear, coherent, not confusing.
And so in this case, the second ballot measure that we've been talking about on this episode has to deal with abortion, IVF, prenatal care, postpartum care. You have argued that those are separate issues and shouldn't be wrapped up into one ballot question. One of the justices in the hearing last week made the case that they all have to do with either getting pregnant or not getting pregnant and the care that you have before or after pregnancy or during. And let's play that soundbite from Justice Douglas Herndon.
You can't take those 10 delineated procedures and look at them solely academically, right? If my wife repeatedly has miscarriages and pregnancies and it's very difficult for her and I choose to get a vasectomy so that we don't have to go through that and maybe we want to adopt, those things are very much related. Real world, they're related. Prenatal care, as I said earlier, is related to what happens in a pregnancy and potentially a miscarriage. Postpartum care is related to what happens in childbirth. These are all related, not just to reproductive health care, but to each other. How can they not be related to each other?
So how do you respond to that argument from Justice Herndon?
Yeah, you know, the way I responded there, and I'll reiterate here, is simply this. The rule is the single subject rule. It's not the single category rule. So it's true to say that reproductive freedom is a category of rights, but I think it's intellectually, I don't want to say dishonest, but intellectually short-sighted to not consider within that broad category the unique subjects that are being addressed. Not to say that those subject matters aren't related in some way, but they are distinct subjects that have their own body of law around them. And as I pointed out in the briefing, as I pointed out in oral argument, we have over like 20 different NRS that are being covered, you know, by this broad category of reproductive freedom. And we have a really defined area of law around abortion rights, and we know kind of how that'll play out in courts. But for example, with IVF or with miscarriages and other areas that are really settled law, codifying those individual subjects as new affirmative rights in our Constitution have different kinds of ramifications. And so if we're going to have this debate, you know, about reproductive freedom and what it entails, we need to really consider each of the subject matters under that category and then talk about the ramifications of each of those subject matters and how they'll affect us.
You, as we've talked about personally, are opposed to abortion. You know, your biography on the website lists you as pro-life and you advocate for those causes. Mm-hmm. You say that you're bringing this legal challenge to protect kind of the integrity of the process, but I've seen the argument out there that this is just an effort to keep what may, if polls are true, be a pretty popular issue, keep it off the ballot in November. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, well, let me be clear. My bias is for life. I make no apologies about that. If this were to go on the ballot, of course, I would be opposing it vigorously. But the legal challenge is not a political argument. or a moral argument. The legal challenge is a mechanical argument, and it really goes toward not our fear of this being on the ballot, but our concerns about it being convoluted, confusing to the voters, and really conflating multiple subjects into one ballot measure. If we want to have a debate on each of those parts of what it means to become pregnant, what it means after you become pregnant, what it means when you don't want to be pregnant, what does it mean when you're having a baby under complicated circumstances, what does it mean after you've had a baby, all those things require intelligent, thoughtful debate so we can understand the issues in each of those stages of the development of a human life and what the ramifications are of codifying different rights in each of those stages of the development of human life. And so we're not afraid of these things being on the ballot, even if we lose I've been on the losing side of a lot of different elections. I'm not afraid to run an election and lose. I'm not afraid to have a debate and lose that debate. But I think it's important that the playing field is equal, that it's clear, and that we're having an honest conversation, because candidly, what's actually happening in this isn't about protecting these particular rights that are on this ballot. This is about driving voters to the ballot box for a certain political interest group, right? I mean, let's just be clear. We wouldn't be having this on the ballot if there wasn't a calculated thought process that this would help with other political objectives that people that are aligned with these sorts of rights are trying to achieve, whether it's getting more assembly people elected or getting the right senator elected. This is about driving votes. It's not, because if it were just about abortion rights or about reproductive freedom rights, Nevada is pretty liberal on this. We're probably one of the more, before pre-Dobbs, we were the most progressive state in the country on abortion rights. And so I think it's disingenuous to say that my objective or, I've been accused of this, not by you, but others, that my objective is somehow a political objective. Sure. When this ballot measure itself is born out of political ambitions that go far beyond the subject matter that we're dealing with in this petition. So
I'll push back a little bit on that, not because it's my personal belief, but just having spoken to Lindsay Harmon, who's with the Nevadans for Reproductive Freedom last week, and they say it's not a political thing, but that since Dobbs overturned Roe v. Wade and reproductive freedoms have been scaled back and taken away in different parts of the country, that now more than ever is the time to enshrine those with that extra step of being in the state constitution. And it's not a political thing. They feel that it really needs that extra level of protection with another, not just in state law, but in the state constitution.
Yeah. So let's break that down a little bit. And you covered this earlier in your segment about what the voters did in 1990. Since that time, abortion rights in our state have been sacrosanct. Anytime there's even been an effort to curtail how those rights are exercised, it's met with vigorous opposition, both politically from political actors who hold public office as well as popularly. So the idea that we need an extra layer of protection in Nevada post-Dobbs is just false and misleading. I mean, just categorically false and misleading, because what Dobbs stands for is the idea that the federal government and the courts should not be deciding how these rights are identified, how they are articulated, and how they are protected state to state to state. And so other states were behind the curve, behind Nevada in terms of rights that were already protected in our state laws. And the idea of having one additional election cycle to protect abortion rights is just disingenuous. I mean, and it really ignores, I mean, if you really look at, and with all due respect to the Lindsay, she's, passionate about this issue, but she's also an operative in a party that's trying to get people elected. It's not evil in and of itself. It's just, these are your these are your political objectives. Let's be transparent. I started out this conversation saying, here's my bias, here's how I'm approaching this, here's the worldview I come from.
Give us an idea of how long it'll take the Supreme Court to rule in cases like this in your experience. So we had the arguments about a week ago now. Obviously, time is of the essence, given that if it's going to be on the November ballot, they need to be collecting signatures right now. So how long are we expecting this to take?
Yeah, you know, in my experience, it's the court has decided and written a decision on these matters in as few as 2 weeks and as many as 6 weeks. The court is well aware of the time frame that it takes to get signatures and get a ballot measure like this on the ballot.
We're looking forward to getting a decision from the Supreme Court, whatever that might be, here in a few to maybe several weeks. Of course, we'll have an update here on this podcast as well as our station News 4. But until then, Jason, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you coming by the studio today.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So as it stands now, we're waiting for a decision from the Nevada Supreme Court on the second ballot question. We're waiting to see if they will take up the first ballot question that deals with abortion only. But as of now, that one is moving ahead and advocates are gathering signatures. We'll let you know if they do end up getting enough signatures to qualify for the ballot. If you made it to the end of this episode, I really appreciate it. If you have guest ideas, episode ideas, questions, comments, compliments, concerns, anything at all, feel free to shoot us an email to BJ, my last name, Marjot, at Margiott, with Ballot Battleground Nevada in the subject line. And if you have a minute, I'd really appreciate it if you left a rating and a review. That helps the podcast show up higher in searches so more people can discover the show. And a quick shout out to two folks who have left reviews already. One that didn't leave their name, but NV Viewer gave it 5 stars. SIMG is their handle. They gave our show 5 stars as well. We really appreciate you guys listening and leaving the review. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.